And so we're going to study today. We're still studying the word, but I want to link it with the day of Pentecost because there was a transition. Anyone remember high school chemistry? Probably not. Mine was, 40-something years ago. But in high school chemistry, they teach you the three or four phases of matter, right? Anyone can name the phases of matter? I'm going to come to you last. Anyone else before I go to Jeremy? Anyone remember what the phases of matter are? All right. Okay, yeah, that's the three that we normally come into contact with. There's one more, but we don't usually come into contact with that. Matter is either in a solid form, right? A liquid form, or a gas, right? What is it that causes matter to change? Temperature, heat. Okay? So a liquid, water, will have a change to a solid when what happens? When? No, I said from a liquid to a solid. When it cools down, when it freezes. And when it heats up, it goes the other way. It goes from a solid to a liquid. Then if you keep going, what happens to the liquid? It becomes a gas. Isn't that interesting? So the matter has three phases of manifesting itself. Three ways of manifesting itself. It's the same thing. When we look at a cloud, we're looking at water vapor. We're looking at water. You ever seen rain come down from a distance? You just see this light, this gray thing falling down, and it's very beautiful when you're in the desert and you can see it like a thunderstorm, and you just see it kind of get gray, and you know that, and you can see the little streaks coming down. That's water. When you look at a cloud, you're looking at water. When you open your fridge and you get out the ice, you're looking at water. It's the same water, but in a different manifestation. In a different manifestation. And I'm trying to show you that the Spirit is that way. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and it went on to say, and the Spirit of God moved. So God manifests in a way like matter. He comes in three different phases. And that is to relate to us in a certain phase. So we see that as Spirit in the Old Testament, He could not have that much interaction with man. So God had to become a man, the living Word. John chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word. And so we see in science, when matter changes from one form to another, you know what they call it? They call it a phase transition, a phase change. So we see in John chapter 1, God had a phase change. He went from being the Father or God in the Old Testament, the Spirit, and become the living Word. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same, the Bible says, was in the world. The same was in the beginning with God. And it goes on to say He was in the world. So what we see at the incarnation, when Jesus was born, if it was science, they would say there was a phase change. It went from liquid to solid. You could see it. We beheld the glory of the only begotten. See, so God actually had a phase change. Same God, just as how it's the same water you're looking at when you look at a cloud. That's water. The amazing thing is when you look at that cloud, it doesn't look very heavy. And yet when you have a cloud burst, you wonder, how could so much water? Were you looking last week when we had that downpour? And within like 10 minutes, the street was almost wanting to be flooded. When that downpour, when there's a phase change, something dramatic happens. And so Jesus was speaking about the fact that He was going to bring the Holy Spirit when the Word became Spirit. John 3:8, the wind blows wherever it pleases. And I'm using a modern translation. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it's going. So it is with everyone that is born of the Spirit. Now this whole month we've been talking about the Word. Next month, I've decided that I want to do one that we did a few years ago, but I think we need it, and that's the fruit of the Spirit again. Because we need to show some fruit. Amen. We don't want to be like the fig tree where Jesus came to find fruit and he found only leaves. We want to show some fruit. So the wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone that is born of the Spirit. And I've used this analogy before, but who's been at the, well, most of you are women, so who here has children? Okay. Not you, Brother Tony. You do have children, but you never had children. No, there's probably a little difference there, right? Now, I can't tell because I'm not a woman, but at the time you were given birth, I don't know how focused you were on the child or on the pain. I'm not sure. I couldn't really, you know, maybe it was just the pain and will this be over any minute, especially at the time when, you know, the head is showing and all of that, you know. I don't know. I can't tell. Maybe it's the pain. Maybe it's you're waiting for the moment where, you know, the little body comes out. And then what are you waiting for?
Cry.
The cry. The cry. As I've said before, the nurses start to get a little bit anxious if the baby doesn't say anything. They get the little suction bulb and they start sucking out all of the mucus and stuff and towel. And then you hear that first little plaintive, and it's so small, like a little cat. You know, it's like, you know. And then you go, okay, they're doing okay. If they can cry, they're okay. That's what you're waiting for. So it is with everyone that is born of the Spirit. You know, the world will say, just put your hand to the TV, repeat after me, and you're saved. And you're saved. But a baby that doesn't utter a sound, you start to worry. You start to worry. So let's look at this. John 1:14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So in John 1:14, what we're seeing is a phase change. God changed from one form of being and manifested himself as another form of being. But it's still the same God. Just as how when water turns to ice, it's still water. It's still water. When it's coming off of your pot and you see the steam, it's still water. But it's a different temperature. One of them you can handle. One of them you can't. You understand, God in spirit form you can't handle. You'd be burnt to death. He had to have a phase change so he could relate to us, so he was cool enough for us to approach him. Do you understand?
Yes.
It's still the same God, but one of them you dare not come close to. You'll get a third degree burn if you put your hand over that steam. But Jesus, after he resurrected, he could say, come, put your hand in my hand. You see? It's the same God, but he had manifested. He had went through, as science would say, a phase change. One of them you can touch, one of them you cannot, because it's too hot for you. You're not yet completely spirit. We still have this flesh, you know? We still have this flesh. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us, and we beheld his glory. When did they behold his glory? That's right, when he transfigured on the mount. Jesus in John chapter 12, I think, starting at verse 41 or so, he said, Isaiah beheld my glory. See, he was speaking of before he was flesh, before the Word became incarnate, he was God, very God in person. And Isaiah got a vision in Isaiah chapter 6. He says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord lifted up and his train. Jesus said, Isaiah saw him. Isaiah saw him. He beheld his glory. Now, the thing about the difference between steam, water, and ice, as I said, as you've all said, is the temperature. One of them you can handle. One of them you can pick up, Maybe a little bit uncomfortable, but you can pick it up. The other, you can't pick it up. You can't really touch it. You can't hold it in your hand. You can't hold it in your hand. It's too big. It expands. It's not something you can grasp, but you can feel it. You may not even be able to see the steam, but you can feel it. You can feel it. You can feel that heat coming off. So at one point, there was a phase transition where the Word became flesh. And then there was another phase transition where the Word became back to spirit. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. He did it. No one made him. He said, "I have the power to lay it down. I have the power to take it back up." No one made him. He did it willingly. Amen. So we see that the Word first became flesh and dwelt amongst us. Then the Word went back to being spirit. That's why Jesus said the wind, the spirit, blows where it wants to, but you can't see it, but you hear the sound of it. Let me tell you something. Water is a very powerful force. But the hotter it is, the more power it has. When they want to generate electricity, you know what they do to the water? They heat it up. They heat it up. They put it through a nuclear power station, a nuclear vessel, and the radioactive rays that are coming off heat the water up to hundreds of degrees, way above even boiling point. So they have to put it in a pressure vessel, or else it would turn instantly to steam. But it stays as water because they've got it under pressure. But then they take that pressure and they pipe it all the way to a turbine. And as it's coming out of the pipe, it turns back to steam. And it generates megawatts, thousands and thousands of megawatts of power. You see, Jesus on earth was only one man. But when he turned back to spirit, he said, "I'm going to give you power. Go and tarry at Jerusalem. Because wait until you be endued with power." That's just like another phase change. When the water now is getting hot, it's got so much power. It's got so much power to turn these huge turbines. I've been to places where they have these generators. And they're about as long as from here to there, just the armature, the shaft. And it's about a foot or more in diameter, weighs about 100 and something tons. And yet there's enough steam coming into that thing to turn that huge thing 1,800 revolutions per minute. That's so much power. In fact, when they have to shut it down, it's a process because they have to get rid of so much energy that they have huge chimneys that are more than 20 feet across. And when they have to do an emergency shutdown, they have megawatts of power being generated. They have to put it somewhere. And when they have to do that, there's only one place they can put it, is straight up into the atmosphere. And when they do that, the whole place shakes. There's so much power, and you can hear it for miles, the amount of power being released. When Jesus said, "It is finished," there was so much power being released. The earth rent. When the word went from word back to spirit, so much power was being released. The Bible says that the graves were opened. See, that's what happens at Pentecost when you receive that power. There should be a change. Do you understand what I'm saying? There should be a change. There should be a change. Something should have happened. Because you can't keep pouring power into water and it doesn't boil. Did you know that? Either you don't have the gas on, maybe you forgot to turn it on. Or it's not water. But you keep pouring energy into something, it's going to have a change. It will not stay the same. It'll start to change. So when it says in Luke 23:46, "And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, 'Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit.' And saying thus, he gave up the ghost." In Philippians, it speaks about it like he had been poured out. Who being in very nature God. See? He came in a form that we could touch. Did not burn us. Could be felt. Bible says he was in all points tempted, such as we are, yet without sin. He was still very God. Still very God, but he came in a phase, in a transition that we could touch. Who, being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. This whole month we've been talking about the Word and getting the Word. And there is a difference, as you can see, in the energy of steam, water, and ice. When Jesus went from being Spirit to being the Word, he left. He divested himself of some of his glory. He became like a man so that he could feel, that he could understand. He could be homeless. Jesus, one point, said, "The birds have nests, foxes have holes, but the Son of Man hath no place to lay." I believe at one point he may have been homeless. That's what he said, isn't it? He said, "The Son of Man hath no place to lay his head." He divested himself of that glory for a while. He went through a change so that he could be touched, that he could be felt, that he could relate to us. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant. In the Greek, why I put the water bottle, because it has the meaning of being poured out, emptied. He emptied himself so that he could dwell amongst us. And he, being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even on a cross. How many of us are ready to die? Well, the truth is, we need to. This flesh has got to die. Are you that humble? Are you ready to die? Are you ready to take wrong? Are you that humble, even when you're right? Or do you decide, "Hey, I'm going to fight because I'm right"? Jesus could have called, he said, 12 legions of angels to defend himself. But he said, "For this cause have I come." He said, I could pray right now and I would get 12 legions of angels. That's 6 times 12, 72,000 angels. Really, he only would have needed one. Actually, he would have needed none. He could have just wished them out of existence. He could have just gone, and they would have disappeared. But he said he humbled himself as a man. He lived as a man so that we too can understand that if he can make it with his help, we can too. Amen. So we see that the Word to become Spirit, the process for that is what? Death. Right now, you're a body and a soul. And if you're filled with the Spirit, you have God's covering Spirit. For your soul to become Spirit again, what has got to happen? Die. Die. And eventually, that's what will happen if Jesus tarries. And if Jesus comes, this body's still going to die because we're going to be changed. But the Bible says that we have to die daily. We have to be killing that body now for us to live in the Spirit. Do you understand what I'm saying? For the Spirit to have power, to have effect in our lives, we got to die daily. It's a fight. It's a fight. People who are not fighting are not dying. You know, you don't get killed if you don't go to war. You know that? If you're not fighting, you're not suffering nothing. And it doesn't need someone outside. It's just your flesh sometimes. You have to fight. You have to speak to yourself and say, "No, I can't do that. I can't think that. I can't go there. I can't let that thought take root. I can't let that desire motivate me." You're going to have a change. If the Holy Spirit comes into your life, there needs to be a phase change. There's got to be something different. If there's no difference, something is wrong. Something is wrong. Amen. So the process from the Word becoming the Spirit was Jesus in his body had to die. And we associate with him in death by... How do we associate with his death? Baptism. We got to die. Symbolically, this flesh has got to symbolically die. And then we have to make sure and keep it dead. You know that? You don't go digging up, go into the cemetery and start digging up the grave of your old man. Don't start entertaining all the things you used to do. Don't do that. Don't be a grave robber. You know, there's something really terrible about people who go to graves and dig them up. We look at them as kind of freaks and crazy, right? You wouldn't want to be associated with anyone who goes to a grave and takes pleasure in digging up an old body. But you know, that's what we do sometimes. We dwell upon how we used to be. We go back to the way we were. There's got to be a phase change. The Holy Spirit has got to have the ability in your life to make a difference. If it's not, then you're not submitting. Let me be plain. If it's not changing your life, you've dug up the old man. If you're doing the same things, saying the same things, living the same way, you have dug up the old man. You've got a Frankenstein. You've got the unliving dead. You've got the zombie apocalypse walking around. You need to kill him and let him stay dead. Let the Holy Spirit have a phase change in your heart. Amen. So Jesus emptied himself. Amen. Who being the very nature of God did not consider its equality with God, even though he was God, even though he could have demanded worship right then and there. Even though most of the times he told people after he healed them, don't tell anyone. Don't say anything. Because he wanted to be as we are. He wanted to experience exactly what you experienced so that he could understand what you're going through. So let me explain. When the Spirit became Word, there was a phase change. All that energy in the water has to go. It becomes touchable. It becomes just water. It loses the energy. So the Word, without the glory, became just the Son of Man. Isaiah 53 verse 3 explains it. He was despised and rejected by mankind. A man of suffering and familiar, or in the King James it says acquainted with grief. Like one from whom people hide their faces. You ever seen someone that was really disfigured? And the first human reaction is to want to turn away. Come on, let's admit it. But then you catch yourself and you say, well, I don't want to embarrass them. So you maybe stare straight ahead, right past their left ear, and don't look at them. But, you know, we have these pretty pictures of Jesus, but he probably didn't look like that. There was nothing the Bible said that was about him that would have been that striking. You would have passed him by and ignored him. Like one from whom people hide their faces. He was despised. And we held him in low esteem. Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering. Yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. You know, you can't wash clothes with steam. You need what? Water. Now you can kill germs with steam. The Spirit will kill sin. But it needed Jesus to come as the water, as the Word, to wash us. To wash us. That's why you need water. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquity. The punishment that brought us peace was put upon him. And by his wounds, we are healed. That word healing there doesn't just mean physical. It's mainly spiritual. Because as I said, eventually this body is going to die. Lazarus died, even though Jesus healed him. Because it's not until we get the new bodies do we live forever in the physical. But he was pierced for our transgressions. So the Word without the glory is a son of man. So let me try and explain. I've been telling you need the abiding Word. You need the Word of God in you. And you're saying, okay, I've been doing everything you said, Pastor. I've been reading my Bible. I've been speaking scripture. And still, I don't see any breakthrough. I still don't see the glory. Wait for it. Wait for it. Because you understand, you're still in the water phase. You haven't gone back to the steam. You're not spirit yet. You're doing the right thing. You just have to understand. Jesus said, a servant is not what? Greater than his master, not above his master. So whatever they did to him, they'll do to you. So you understand that just because you now have the Word in you, you're still in the Son of Man phase. Okay? You're still the Son of Man because the glory yet has not been revealed. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. For many, many years, I never understood this. I couldn't understand, well, God, why did it have to be that way? Why did Jesus have to suffer for me? Couldn't you find a different way? Couldn't you make it different? Couldn't you just do something else? Why did Jesus have to go to the cross? And for many, many years, I really didn't understand this until bit by bit, God started to show me. And I've taught this before, the analogy of the body. And how when the body gets infected, thousands, millions of cells die because of the infection. But there are a few cells that don't get infected because they have immunity. They have the right things to repel the virus. And for the body to live, those cells have to multiply and give their immunity to the rest of the body. And the way they do it is by dying. When that cell that has immunity dies, it releases all of the protection, the molecules that protect it, to the rest of the body. And bit by bit, the fever goes down, the swelling goes down, as those immunity is spread to the rest of the body. That's why Jesus came. He had to die to bring back and release that spirit that he said on the cross, into thy hands, commend my spirit. So that 50 days later, on the day of Pentecost that we're celebrating today, a new covering spirit could be released. Amen. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him. And by his wounds we are healed. So the word without the glory is just a son of man. Okay? It's just a son of man. But let me explain something to you. The word with the glory becomes a son of God. The word with the glory becomes a son of God. Because remember what the Bible says. They that are led by the Spirit, to them gave he power to become. We're not there yet except by faith, but we're on a journey to become the full revelation of a son of God. Romans 8:20 says, for the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain, waiting to wit the redemption of the children of God. We're waiting for the redemption of this body, for the fullness of God's promise to come forth. Paul in his epistle said that the Holy Spirit is like the deposit. It's the earnest money. It's the promise from God. You're going to get the whole deal. You're going to get the whole deal. Just hang on. The full revelation, the glory that is to be revealed. Because the Bible says when he shall appear, we shall be like him. We shall see. The Bible speaks about the glory that is yet to be revealed. We're on our way to become a son of God. Now, when you first come to church, when you first get the word in there, you only are a son of man. There's no glory. There's struggle, there's conflict, there's pressure, there's fighting. But one of these days, the glory is going to return. Mark 9, verse 2 says, and after 6 days. Does anyone know why that's significant? Why did the Bible say after 6 days? He rested on the seventh. So, seventh day. The seventh day. Okay, but there's more to it than that. There's more to it than that. God created the earth in what? 6 days, and he rested on the seventh. But there's more to it than that. The Bible says the day is as a 1,000 years. According to Scripture, man upon the earth, now listen to me very carefully, man upon the earth has not been around more than about 6,000 years, no matter what the scientists say. After 6 days, he did what? Took him up. He revealed his glory. We're almost in the sixth day, the close of the sixth day. According to the Jewish calendar, this is 5,700 and something. So we are in the close, coming to the close of the sixth day. After 6 days, he took him up and revealed his glory. Do you understand what I'm saying? We are about to dawn the sixth day. After 6 days, he took them up and led them up into a high mountain. God was symbolically saying, there's coming a time when the word now is going to go back to spirit, and you're going to see that glory. You're going to see that glory. Not only going to see it, but it's going to be what? Revealed in you. See, the Word without the glory, we're just in this fleshly body. One of these days, we're going to get the Word with the glory. Amen. There he was transfigured before him. And I didn't put the whole scripture, but it says his face shone whiter than anything else, that they couldn't even look at him. And his garments shone because the glory, he was showing them the glory that he had as spirit. And as spirit, of course, is just like steam. They couldn't even come near. They couldn't touch him. They couldn't handle him because he was glorified. This is what John 1:14 was speaking about. It was speaking about the day when he took them up the mount. That's what the promise is. One of these days, after 6 days, after 6,000 years, or however close it is, God is going to take us up. And the Bible says when we see him, we shall be like him, because the glory is going to be revealed not only in him, but in us. The glory that is yet to be revealed. Amen. And at that point, we won't be struggling. We won't be fighting, but we will be victorious. Amen. Amen. So the Word is going to now become spirit. It's going to go back into another phase change. And that's when there is real power delivered. When you start walking just in the spirit with the Word inside, you can have power. The problem with us, we're probably 95% walking in flesh. And when that happens, there's no glory. For the glory to be revealed, you have to be walking in the spirit. And when you're walking in the spirit, the devil can't touch you either. You're just too hot for him to handle. He can't grasp hold of you. They that are led by the spirit, to them gave he power to become. I'm on my way. I'm not there yet. And it's a fight. It's not easy. This flesh doesn't want to do. How do you have a phase change? What do you got to do to make water turn to steam? Exactly. You got to heat it up. You got to put the fire on it. That's it. Anything that's going to go through a phase change, it's going to be heat. It's going to be heat. See what happened? Nebuchadnezzar, throw those three Hebrew boys in the fire. Says, let's heat it up some more. Let's heat it up seven more times. Let's see what happens to them. But you see, it wasn't flesh that kept them alive. It was spirit. Because flesh could not stay alive in a fire. But when he threw those boys in, all he could see was four. Four. And to prove to you, he didn't say, I see a son of man. A son of God. Because there was glory in that fire. There was spirit in that fire. When you are walking in the spirit, you can make it. God can take you through any trial, any tribulation. But we need to get out the flesh. We need to stop going back to the graveyard and digging up the old man and manifesting in his ways, because it doesn't matter if you have the Word in you, if you're not going to do the right thing, if you're not going to walk according to God. The Bible says, grieve not the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. What is the purpose of the Holy Spirit? Why did God do it that way? Well, let's look at what Jesus himself said. John 16:8. And when he is come, he will reprove. What does reprove mean? Correct. Set straight. So I'm afraid as pastor, I can't be always patting you on the back. Sometimes I'm going to have to tell you like it is. And that's not my nature. But you know what? Sometimes I'm going to have to let the Spirit use me, and I'm going to have to tell you like it is. You may not like it. But one of the main reasons for the Holy Spirit is to reprove. And one of the things I want to say is, as a church, we need to have a phase change. We can't let the Word keep coming in and no change. Right? Otherwise, you're not eating it. You know, there's people who suffer from what they call bulimia, is it? Where they look like they're eating. And as soon as the meal is done, they go outside and they choke themselves and throw it up. And you wonder, why are they still looking so thin? Why are they going through so much stuff? Why are they sick like that? What's wrong with them? You know what's happening? They're not letting the Word feed them. They're throwing it up. They're throwing up. We don't want any spiritual bulimics in Rehoboth. We don't want that. We can't have that. Because this is the church of the living God. And the Spirit is going to reprove and correct the world of sin. That's the first thing Jesus said. When he comes, Spirit of truth, he's going to reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment, of sin, because they believe not on me. See, many people come to church, but they really don't believe. If they did, there would be a phase change. If you believe something, you act upon it, don't you? If you believe there's $100 here with your name on it, what are you going to do? Huh? If you don't believe, well, that's not really for me. But if you believe it, you're going to at least open it up and see if it's for real. So that's the proof. You say you believe, then let me see a phase change. Let me see a difference in your life. It's not about works. It's not about works. You can't do it to be good. You can't do it that way. But you should be trying. You can't give up and let the flesh rule you. It says, of judgment, because the prince of this world is judge. Verse 13, jumping down, says, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. But you know, here's the thing about advice. Someone has to do what? You have to listen, or else it does no good. Remember I said that the thing about the Word and the Spirit is associated with hearing, listening. And that's why people don't have faith. Because it's not the fact that you hear the Word, you have to actually take it into you. You have to eat it. You can't go outside and throw it up. Which is what I think people are doing. Because you look at it and you say, well, man, they're still in the same place they were 5 years ago. What's happening? No growth, because they have been spiritually throwing it up. They look in the mirror and they say, no, I don't want to be a Christian. I look too holy. I think I want to be more like the world. So I'm going to throw up that word. You can do that. But a lot of bulimics die. They get to the point where they have a poor image. They can't see themselves. Amen. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself. That's another word. Last week I gave you some words that meant that were associated with the Word of God. Right? Logos, onoma, which means word. Okay? Graphe, the written word. Okay? Well, here's another one. When it speaks about the Holy Spirit, it says it's laleo, and it means a word in your ear to listen. Something that is specific in your ear. And most of us, we want God to appear in an angelic form and says, thus saith the Lord, I'm here to bless you with a pot of gold. Here it is. That's what we're praying for to see Jesus in a bodily form. And yet the whole time, the Holy Spirit is speaking to us. How is the Holy Spirit speaking to us? Through the Word. He's speaking to you now. You know how he's speaking to you? Through me. I'm sorry, I don't want to be boastful, but it's not me. The words that I'm giving you is from Scripture. The Holy Spirit is speaking to you now. Are you throwing it up? Are you doing like, it's for the person behind me. It's for the person behind me. The Bible says, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. If you haven't been seeing things to come, then maybe you're not listening, because the Bible claims the Holy Spirit is going to show you things to come. That's what it says. Does it say that? That he shall speak, he will show you things to come. I need to hear, because as pastor, I need to see things. I need to hear and be warned of things to come. And one of the things I think I've heard is we need a phase change. We're not going to be complacent. We're not going to just go along and get along. We need to stir our Holy Spirit up some more. We need to make sure that we're not at a plateau, but that we're in a growth phase. That I'm growing, that you're growing. Amen. That I'm not happy with myself. I can't be the same way I was last year. I need more. I want more. Anything that's dead doesn't need to eat. I want to prove I'm alive. Lord, give me more of your word. Give me more of your self. I just don't want to be just the word alone, but I want to have the Spirit so that I can get the glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, the purpose of the second purpose of the Holy Spirit is to raise us up. the new man, but if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken. That means make alive. Paul says you were dead in trespasses and sins. We need a new body. We need a new body. And without the Holy Spirit, you're dead. He that raised up Christ from the dead shall quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. Amen. That's why we need to make sure that we have the Holy Spirit. Amen. Because it's the only thing that is going to make us alive, give us a new body. Romans 8:9 says, but ye are not in the flesh. That's what Paul is trying to tell us, that we should not be in the flesh, but in the spirit, if so be the spirit of God dwell in you. Now here's a saying that people don't like. Now if any man have not the spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Amen. Next month we're going to go into by their fruit, you shall know them. Amen. Many shall say, Lord, Lord, didn't I do this? Didn't I do this? He's going to say, I depart from me. I never knew you. I never knew you because, what, you didn't even produce any fruit. You didn't even look like me in the least bit. You know, you didn't behave like me in the least bit. You know, I got to save some of this for my message. I got to save some of it for my message. It's going to be a double portion today. Amen. 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 And I'm speaking to myself too. Paul said, it's not that I have attained, but I press. If you're not pressing, there's something wrong. You've given up. You're floating down the river. It takes nothing to float down the river. You know that? You can just lay there. Satan's quiet. Hey, he'll leave you alone. He'll leave you alone because you're going to be dumped out at sea. But if you're trying to swim up the river, it's going to be a fight. Are you fighting today? Are you trying to live that you are presenting your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable, which is just our reasonable service? Reasonable service. Reasonable service. It's not anything special. I've done nothing because I, you know, wrote this Bible study. I've done nothing. I can't say, well, God, I did this. Or if I go out and witness and talk to two people, I can't say, God, I did anything. That's our reasonable service. Another scripture, he says that the good works that he has before prepared. God has prepared anything you do. God already prepared it for you. You're just doing your reasonable service. Hallelujah. All we got to do is to start to walk worthy. Amen. The purpose of the indwelling word is so that we can hear a voice. The Bible says you will hear a voice in your ear saying, this is the way, walk in it. This is the way, walk in it. Amen. If you're not hearing any voice, you need to listen up. Listen up, listen up. Let me explain to you. The Spirit speaketh. Did you know that? The Spirit can speak. You can't see it, but Jesus said you will hear it. If you're listening, it says the Spirit speaketh. And that's another word. That's another word. God has got a whole bunch of words to specify talking to us. The Spirit speaketh expressly that in latter times some shall depart from the faith. Because you know what? Instead of listening to the word, they're listening to seducing spirits. Things that sound like the word. Things that make them feel comfortable. Things that make them feel good. Things that make them feel okay. You know, doctrines of devils. You know, and most of those words say, it doesn't matter what you do. Just come to church and pray. But we're not Catholics, you know that? We're not Catholics. We can't just go to the priest and say three Hail Marys and everything's okay. No. No. We got to present our bodies a living sacrifice if you got the Holy Spirit. See, Revelation tells us what you got to do. He that hath an ear. Everyone take their thumb and first finger. We'll do this. Everyone got one? Okay. This scripture applies to you. It says, he that hath an ear, let him hear. The Spirit is speaking to you. We all want God to come down in a bodily form when we don't want to hear the pastor. We don't want to read our Bible. We don't want to hear what the word is saying to us. that if we don't shape up, when the bridegroom comes, the door is going to be shut. Because they did not have the oil, the spirit, in the vessel. See, everybody has got a Bible. The Bible says that thy word is a lamp. Everybody's got a Bible, but do you have the oil in the vessel? Because if you don't, this lamp's going to be taken away from you. You go to China with a Bible, they may confiscate it. You better have some oil in the vessel. Some countries, you go to Muslim countries, you're going to be killed if you're found with a Bible. You better have the oil in the vessel. Amen? The Spirit speaketh expressly, I'm going to hurry, that in latter times, people are going to listen to what makes them feel good. I don't want Rehoboth to be a feel-good church. Not in that sense. If you're feeling good, it's got to be the Holy Spirit. Not because I'm telling you you can do anything, because you can't. And once I tell you that, I'll be wrong too. No, you have to live by the written word. You got to listen to the indwelling word. And you got to be ready for when that Spirit says, come on higher. After 6 days, Jesus is going to reveal himself to this world, to those who are ready. Amen. And then the glory is going to be revealed. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord. You know why they were on one accord? Because they believed. Jesus has said, go and wait. Go and wait in Jerusalem. Don't leave Jerusalem yet. Go and wait until you be endued with power. Today, people don't want to wait. No, it's my way, Burger King society, right? I want it my way. I'm afraid God is not like that. It's his way or the highway. And that highway leads to hell. He said, broad is the way. Broad is the way that leads to destruction. But narrow, tight. It's a squeeze. It's a squeeze. It's difficult. It's a squeeze to serve God. It is. Because you don't fit in. You're not going to fit in. You can't look like everything the world does. You can't. I'm not speaking clothing, but you know it's what's inside comes on the outside. If you love God, you're going to do whatever to please him. Amen. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven. See, this was when the Spirit now comes back in power. It's had a phase change. It's got a lot of power. It's like the steam. It can turn tons and tons of motorized equipment to light a whole city. It can shake the walls when that machinery is so big starts to move. You can feel the earth tremble. There came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. Something that hadn't happened for thousands of years. The Spirit of God permanently now come to indwell man. And there appeared unto them a cloven tongues, like as a fire. I told you the thing that differentiates ice from liquid to steam is the heat. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gives you utterance. Jesus said that you can't have bitter water and sweet water come from the same spot, right? No, not at the same time, at least, for sure. That don't work, does it? No, no. That's why the Holy Ghost comes to anoint us. I tell you what, when you see God's glory, he's going to anoint you. Isaiah said, I can't speak, I'm a man of unclean lips. I've done all kinds of things. I'm a worldly person. But the angel flew with a coal, something hot. Something hot, and came and anointed his lips. We got to have a phase change. We can't live like the devil and come to church on Sunday. Do you know that? You can't do that. God is not mocked. No. Can fool me. I'm nobody. But God is not mocked. No, there's going to be a judgment, all right. We shall have to give an account. He's going to open the books. And you know, they're trying to get all these police to wear body cameras. God got them beat. He's got everything you ever did recorded somewhere. Every word you said. You're going to have to give an account for it. We need to start living like we are expecting to make it. Amen. So when the Holy Ghost comes, the first place it touches is your lips. Because Jesus said it's what comes out of a person that defiles them. It's what you say comes from out your heart most of the time. It's what defiles you. Bible says if a person can bridle their lips, they have power. And sometimes it's the only the Holy Spirit can control that lip. Amen. See, we need to understand that the Holy Spirit isn't just to come and shout on Sundays. But it's supposed to be to give us the power to live from sin. That actually is real power. That is real power. The power to be a different person. Phase change. Once you've heated up the steam, you cannot get it back to ice. Did you know that? It's going to stay like that until you take out the power. But as long as it's hot like that, there's no way you can get it back to steam, to ice. Once you truly fill with the Holy Spirit, once you've truly let the Holy Spirit heat you up, then you will have the power to live from sin. But as I said, some people been bulimic, I think. They've been getting all of the food, but not really digesting it. In the Old Testament, the prophet Ezekiel, the angel appeared to him and he gave him a scroll. And you know what he told him? Eat all of it. It's going to be sweet in your mouth. Going to be bitter in your stomach, but you better eat all of it. Because that's the only way you're going to be my prophet. I'm telling you. If you have the Holy Spirit, it should do a phase change in your life. Shall I tell you, you can't have water, ice, and liquid from the same material at the same time. That doesn't happen in nature. There's got to be a change in your life. If there's not a change in your life, you need to examine yourself. There is therefore now no condemnation if you're really in a fight. It's not that you're not going to fall down or mess up, but that you are actually fighting. Now, if you're not fighting, then there is condemnation. Let me just tell you that. There is going to be condemnation if you're not trying. Now, if you're trying, if you mess up, then there is no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. But if you're just floating down the river, forget about it. Oh, no. You know, and I don't want to overuse the analogy, but you've heard me use the one that T.D. Jakes said about the difference between a lamb and a pig. They both fall into the mud, but the pig likes it. The lamb is bleeding. Get me out of here. They're both dirty, but the pig is enjoying it. Oh, man, I love this mud. That's the difference between a Christian who is fighting and one who is not. They have a sense of, Lord, I need help. I'm not making it. I need your deliverance. I need your help. I need the Holy Spirit, amen, to get me out of here. Verse 2 says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. But only if you're really fighting it. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. And I'm going to hurry. For sin condemns. See, God is looking at your heart. The intent of your heart. In Romans 7, he says, what I didn't want to do, I ended up doing. The key here is what he said first. I didn't want to do it. Now, if you did want to do it, no. What you're doing is crucifying Jesus afresh. Right? He says, what I didn't want to do, sometimes I end up doing because of this flesh. The Spirit will cover that. The Spirit will take care of that. But when we give up, when we just say, okay, I'm just going to come to church, I'm just going to go through the motions, then the word is not abiding. The word is not abiding. You've been offered this scroll, and you haven't eaten all of it. Amen? Getting quiet in here. Amen. You see, we have to use the Spirit to fight. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded, to be that, if that's all you're thinking about is flesh all day, what I'm going to eat, what I'm going to wear, who am I dating, what's my relationship, if that's all you think about, you're going to be in for a disaster. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. And peace. Because when you get to the point where you're sold out for Christ, a lot of stuff isn't going to bother you anymore. It's not going to bother you anymore. Amen. It's just not. You're going to see it. It's not that you don't have feelings, but you're saying, okay, God, I can do all things through Christ. Amen. But if you're in the flesh, it's going to bother you terribly. It's going to upset you. It's going to rip you up and down. Because you have no buffer. You have no covering, no protection. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. You know, sometimes I have to talk to myself and I say, where did that thought come from? I do. Something will pop into my head and I'm saying, I'm supposed to be a pastor. I can't think that. Get out of there. And I have to start to think about Jesus or something else. Because I'm flesh. Because I'm flesh, I have to fight. If I start meditating upon that thought, you know, that's a bad situation. No, you can't do that. We are going to be attacked. We are in a fight. We're in spiritual warfare. But that's why we need the abiding word to abide. Not just come on a Sunday and go as soon as you hit the door. No, that's not how it works. Bible says God is not mocked. We want a church that's on fire. That's in love with one another. That's going to bear one another's burdens. That's praying for one another. That is seeking God with our whole heart as we see the day approaching. Oh, church is going to be full the day after the rapture. I'll leave some notes here. I'll leave some DVDs. Church is going to be full after some people disappear. Amen. Ephesians 6:12, and I'm going to finish. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers. You think you can fight steam with your hands? No, you better have spirit. Because you're not going to be able to grasp the spiritual steam that's coming against you unless you have some of yourself. Unless you're on fire for God. But against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high place. Listen, we are in a battle. I want to emphasize that. We're in a battle. You can't give up. You can't just do whatever comes into your mind. Say whatever comes into your mind. You got to rebuke that. You got to rebuke that. You have to be doing what God says. You got to listen to the Spirit. Amen. See, well, I'm talking about the word that abides. If the word abides, then you're going to do what the word says. You're going to live the way the word wants you to. The Bible says we are not our own. You know that? We're not our own. We're not our own. I don't want to die before my time. And this is not scriptural. I'm just telling you of my own flesh now. I think God takes out some people. This is not scriptural. This is just Brother Mike telling you this. I think God takes out some people before they maybe should have. You know why? He sees that they're gonna, and it's because he loves them and he takes them home early. This is just me now, not scripture. But in my lifetime, I've seen some strange things happen. And I've kind of thought about this. And I think, you know, God, I think I understand why you took that person. Because they were about to make some decisions that was just horrendous. This is just me now, not scripture. You can take it or not. We need to understand that without the abiding word, unless you take the whole scroll and eat it, you can't be his prophet. You can't be his prophet. Ezekiel, you're going to have to eat the whole scroll. Let's stand today. Amen. I've gone a little bit long. Amen. Understand, you're in spiritual warfare. You can pick up ice. You can maybe cup water, but you can't touch steam. You understand what I'm saying? You need spirit to deal with spirit. You know, you need spirit to deal with spirit. God is speaking to us. We need a phase change. It's not good enough for us to just be here. I'm not after numbers. I'm after the Spirit. I really am. I'm not about building some kingdom. And if you are not happy, if you're not happy, find where you are happy. Because I am determined, Joshua, choose thee this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, I'm determined. I haven't I haven't been coming to church all my life, from a baby, to miss it at this hour. I want everybody to be saved, but if you're not going to listen, if you're going to be a bulimic Christian, do it outside. Go throw up outside. This is a serious thing. And although I can't prove it from Scripture, God will take someone out. He will. He will. He will. I can't make anyone holy. That's not my job. My job is to just make sure that I'm accountable. Bible says, for your souls. I got to make sure that when I stand before God, I said, yes, Lord, I told them as you said it. Verse 8, so then they that are in the flesh cannot, no way, no how, please God. We need to understand that we're in the sixth day. God is about to take some people up the mountain and show them his glory. But he left a bunch at the bottom of the mountain that never saw it. They had to wait. I want to be in the group that sees his glory. Amen. We do not want to take God's word and his grace and his love for granted. But as you see the day approaching, we need to make our calling and election sure. You know, people think, you know, well, we let everything go, but we don't. God doesn't. It's time to get serious. It's time to get serious. Amen. We want that word to abide. That means it's got to stay with you, live with you, Monday to Friday, not just on Sundays. You need to live the word. You should speak grace. The words that come out of your mouth should be grace. If it's not grace, you need to pray about that. You need to pray about that. We should live grace. Our lives should be an example, a candle. People should want to be around you. Did you know that people should want to be around you? You should. I'm just talking what the Bible says, right? We need to have a phase change. If you're still in the ice stage, get some heat. If you're still in the liquid stage, get some heat. We need to get to the spirit stage where you're able to do some things, where you're esteemed, where you have some power, where you have some deliverance in your life, where you have a change, that you're not been in the icebox the whole 10 years you've been a Christian. Amen? I don't want to be lost. I'm preaching to myself. I fight, believe it or not. Just because I'm the pastor, I have to fight as I can't come up here and preach to you. Paul said, lest I be what? A castaway. A castaway. No, that's not my hope after 50-something years. No, I got to make it in. I got to make it in. This is the birthday of the church. Let's make it a birthday of renewal and repentance and revival. It's not about numbers. We could have 200, doesn't we could have 1,000. It doesn't matter. Because not everyone that says, Lord, Lord, is going to make it in. God is coming back for a bride without spot or wrinkle. Amen. I'm done for now. I'm done for now. I'm not done today, but I'm done for now. Amen. I want you to know that we need to not just hear the word, but be doers of the word. Serving God is not a job. It's not something you get up and you go do for 8 hours and you come back and you put it down. Serving God is a lifestyle. Amen. Let's bow our heads at this time. Lord, we just thank you. Lord, let this word, oh God, find some ground, some good ground. Lord, even for myself, Lord, I'm speaking to me too, Lord Jesus. Lord, we ask you to give us a breakthrough, a revival. Oh God, a transformed mind, a renewed mind, Lord God, that we put down this flesh, that we get serious for you, Jesus. Oh God, that we be found walking worthy, that you can call us your beloved. Lord, we ask you for an anointing that breaks every change. Oh God, that we will put down this flesh, that we will seek you, Lord God, that we will behold your glory. We thank you right now, Jesus. And we ask you, Lord, to bless us. Hallelujah. Let your grace, oh God, manifest in our lives in every aspect. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Let's give God a praise offering. Amen. May not have been much of a Bible study, but it's what the Lord wanted me to say. Amen. Amen. Let's give God another praise offering. Amen. Greet one another. Remember what the Holy Spirit comes to do: to reprove, uplift, and to help us fight. God bless you. We'll start again about 15:15. Amen. Let's get ready to have a blowout Sunday service. Amen.